Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It was supposed to be just another day. A new town, a new backyard, and a curious kid eager to explore the woods beyond his home. But what he found down there, hidden in the thick brush along a swollen riverbed, wasn't something you'd expect to find in daylight, or any time for that matter. He was 9 years old, too young to understand what fear really was, until it stood across from him, silent and still, black from head to toe, watching. What you're about to hear is a first-hand account. There are no embellishments, no retellings passed down over years of faded memory. This is one voice, one letter, and a single moment that's haunted someone well into adulthood, a presence no one else saw, a presence that didn't move, didn't speak, but never looked away. So what do we do with that kind of memory? A hallucination? A figment of youthful imagination? Or did something truly step out from the shadows that day, drawn to someone who could see what others couldn't? Let's get to the letter. They write, "This happened a long time ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I was 9. My family had just moved into a small house at the edge of town. Quiet neighborhood, plenty of trees, and a big stretch of woods out back that all the neighborhood kids talked about like it was their own secret world. It was the kind of place where you felt like something could happen, even if nothing ever did. Until one day, it did. I didn't know anyone when we first moved in, but that changed fast. Brian and Danny lived 2 doors down, both my age, both the kind of kids who always had scraped knees and wild stories. We became fast friends over bikes, Pokemon cards, and that one shared curiosity. Kids always have, finding out what we're not supposed to see. It wasn't long before they told me about the riverbed, said it ran behind the entire block, hidden deep in the brush where the trees grew thick and rattlesnakes were known to nap in the sun. Most of the time, it was bone dry, just dust and rock. But after it rained, and this was the rainy season, it turned into a narrow stream enough to wade in. It was also the one place all of us were told not to go, which of course meant we had to go. I remember the day we went down there. It was late afternoon. We were in t-shirts and shorts, cutting through the woods behind my yard, ducking under branches and hopping over patches of wet grass. I was excited. Nervous, but excited. The trees grew taller the deeper we went, and eventually the sound of distant traffic disappeared completely. It felt like another world. We followed a narrow path through brush so dense it scratched our legs raw. I was already getting that weird, prickly feeling on the back of my neck, like someone was walking behind us even though no one was. I tried to laugh it off, but I kept looking over my shoulder. Brian and Danny didn't notice anything. They were too busy talking about how we could jump in if the current wasn't too strong. I didn't say anything. Didn't want to be that kid. When we reached the riverbed, it was maybe knee-deep in places, slow-moving, with soft ripples that caught the sunlight. Brian jumped in first, then Danny. They were laughing, splashing each other, already soaked. I stood at the edge, watching. And that's when it hit me. It wasn't just the coldness in my stomach, it was this feeling, this sense that something was off, not just like we shouldn't be there, but like we weren't alone. I told myself I was being stupid, that it was just because we were somewhere new, but that feeling didn't go away. I jumped in. The water was colder than I expected, but it wasn't the temperature that made me freeze. It was the sensation that something had followed us. I started looking over my shoulder again. Kept hearing these soft crunches in the brush, like someone stepping lightly, carefully, just beyond sight. I turned, nothing. Then again, a sound, another turn, still nothing. Brian and Danny were wrestling in the water, totally oblivious. I forced a smile, tried to focus on them, but I couldn't shake it. And then it happened. I heard the sound again, sharper this time, like a foot dragging through leaves. I turned my head, and there it was. Standing just beyond the trees, tall, solid, human-shaped, but completely black not shadowy, not transparent, just black, like someone had cut a human shape out of reality and filled it with pitch. No face, no features, just presence. It didn't move. It didn't speak. It just stood there. I couldn't breathe. My chest locked up like the air had thickened. My body took over before my brain could. I screamed and threw myself back into the water. Tony, I don't even remember hitting the surface, just that the cold slammed into me and I went under. I was flailing, panicking. I wasn't a strong swimmer back then, and the fear made everything worse. I felt like I was sinking, like I couldn't tell which way was up. The water was too shallow for it to make sense, but I felt like I was drowning. Brian and Danny were beside me in seconds, dragging me up. They kept yelling, "What? What is it?" I was coughing, spitting water, eyes still locked on the thing by the trees, and it was still there. I pointed, "There! Right there!" They looked, confused. They saw nothing. I went under again. One more time, just long enough for the water to fill my ears and block out the world. When they pulled me up again, the figure was gone. Gone, like it was never there. No sound, no trace. We scrambled out of the riverbed, soaked and shaking. They asked me again what I saw. I lied, said I saw rattlesnakes, that they were slithering toward the water. They believed me, or at least pretended to. We never spoke about it again. I wish I could say that was the last time I thought about it, that the moment vanished like a nightmare or faded with age. But that'd be a lie. I couldn't forget it. I didn't want to go back, not really. But something about that place pulled at me. A few days later, I found myself drifting back to the edge of the woods. I stood at the tree line, staring down the path we'd taken. My chest was tight. That same pressure was back in the air, like the humidity, just before a storm, but the sky was clear. Eventually, I walked back down, alone this time. I didn't go far, didn't even reach the riverbed, but I stayed long enough to feel it again. That same wrongness, like someone had just stepped behind a curtain and was waiting for me to pull it back. I left quickly, told myself I wouldn't do that again, but I did, more than once. And that's when I realized something I hadn't expected. I never saw the black figure again, but the feeling never left. It became part of the place, like something was always just beyond the edge of hearing. Like the brush was breathing around me. I didn't tell anyone. What could I even say? I didn't have the words for it, not then. It was just a thing I carried. Quiet, heavy. Years passed. I stopped going down there after a while. Grew older. Got busy with other things. Life has a way of crowding out the unexplained, but it never really left my mind. Not even close. Then came the dream. I was 17. Everything had changed, but in the dream I was 9 again. Standing at the edge of the water, and there it was. The black figure, right where it had been, only this time it moved. Slowly. Deliberately toward me. I couldn't move, couldn't scream. It didn't run. It approached. Like it knew there was no reason to hurry. I woke up gasping, soaked in sweat. Heart slamming like I'd sprinted across town. My window was open. I don't remember opening it. That dream stayed with me. Not just because of what I saw, but because it felt true. A few months later, I heard something strange from a classmate. He lived a few streets away, and he mentioned the woods behind our neighborhood. Said his older cousin used to dare people to go down there after dark. Said there was a watcher in the trees. A figure people sometimes spotted from a distance. No one knew who it was or why they were there, just that they didn't move, didn't speak. And if you saw it, you weren't supposed to go back. I played dumb, said it sounded like a made-up story. But it wasn't, because I'd seen it, and I was the only one, apparently, who had. It wasn't until years later, long after I'd moved out and returned again as an adult, that I started looking deeper. Local forums, old message boards, even a few dusty books from the library's basement archive. I didn't expect to find anything, but I did. There was a man, a drifter maybe, or someone no one really knew well. He lived near the ravine decades earlier, vanished sometime in the late 60s. Some said he drowned in the floodwaters. Others whispered that he'd just walked into the woods one day and never came back. A few old posts from long-abandoned web pages mentioned sightings, always vague, always the same. Tall figure, black clothes, motionless, watching. One even mentioned children seeing it near the riverbed. I felt sick when I read that. It wasn't just me. I don't know if it was him, or if whatever I saw even had a name. All I know is it felt evil, not aggressive, not violent, just present, like it knew me, and like it didn't care whether I was afraid. Even now, I still walk those woods sometimes. I've never seen it again. But that wait, that thick silence, it's still there. Every time I go back. And the worst part is, I don't think it's gone. I think it's waiting. Not for me, maybe, but for someone. The figure didn't hurt me. It didn't chase me. It didn't speak. Some stories haunt you not because of what happens, but because of what doesn't. A faceless figure, a still forest, a child's silent terror. These things leave no fingerprints, no evidence. But they settle deep in the memory where they linger long after the moment has passed. From a psychological standpoint, it's easy to explain away. Children are suggestible. The mind, especially a young one, can conjure shapes and shadows, project meaning into patterns of wind and leaves. The fear of isolation, of being new, of wanting to fit in, those can all manifest into something deeply personal, vivid, terrifying, especially in a moment of emotional vulnerability. And yet, there's something about this story that resists easy explanation. The clarity, the presence, the consistency, the recurrence of that same feeling year after year, that oppressive weight, that sense of being watched. It doesn't change. It doesn't evolve with time. It just waits, silent, familiar. Some would argue this is classic residual haunting, that the land itself holds memory, and that certain people, often children, often sensitive, are more attuned to the imprints left behind. Others might say it's something more active, an entity, a presence, something that attaches to a place or a person. But here's what I keep coming back to. The figure didn't chase him. It didn't speak. It didn't even move. It didn't have to. It just stood. And that was enough to change the trajectory of a life. So what was it? A projection of fear? A long-forgotten man swallowed by legend or something older? Something that simply is waiting in the places we're not supposed to go? Sometimes the scariest part of a story is that there is no ending, just a trail that disappears into the trees. This has been Tony Bruschi. And if you find yourself walking near a quiet riverbed after the rain, look twice. You may not be as alone as you think.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.